Think of the following conversation as a tale of two harps. You're listening to harpist and harpmaker John Kovac of Front Royal playing the first of the two instruments he built and brought with him when he came to talk with me.
The harp I was just playing, that's 30 strings. First of all, there's no such thing as a standard harp. It just doesn't exist. You could have a 100-string harp or a two-string harp, one of the few instruments in the orchestra that has not been standard.
Well, what makes it a harp?
Well, I guess you could just say a triangle with some strings in it is the basic definition, right? And I've never seen two harps the same, even if the same harp maker made them, except maybe your concert harps are somewhat standardized. So this particular harp is very lightweight. It's modeled after a harp from the country of Paraguay, South America, which is very, very famous in the harp world. It's very lightweight. It weighs about 11 pounds. It has about 800 pounds of tension when you tighten up all those strings, even though it's, imagine, if you will, like, say, 30 concrete blocks on that soundboard. That's the tension involved, yes. And other than that, most harps are the same. They have, some harps have blue C's, some have red C's, but they are color-coded. So in this harp, the blues or do is
That's the
blue.
String, the actual color of
Correct.
The string.
Yes. So the first string, do, is blue, and do, re, mi, fa, the fa, which is F, is red.
If you would, describe the construction and why you did what you did. I love the little, is that a dog?
Oh, my goodness, that's a lady.
That's a lady. Oh, heavens.
She's gone to the dogs, Brad.
Let me polish my glasses.
Well, I have to get over that dog remark. Okay. It's a sort of a folk depiction of a lady, and there is some significance to that because in the country of Paraguay, the women do a dance with a number of jars on their head, jars of water. And I've seen as many as 5 jars of water stacked on their head, and they do their dance, their traditional
are
dance.
Are they tied on?
Or no, no. They just literally balance them. They're very, very good at it, of course. They just dance around very gracefully with a couple, literally, honest, I'm very serious, with a couple of jars of water on their head. And it's a big, in the old days, I guess it was, you know, around the campfire. Now for the tourists, they do it. And the interesting thing about the Paraguayan harp, which I'm very psyched about, is because there is virtually no glue in the harp. The tension of the strings holds the whole harp together, which is very different than conventional harps.
And this is a Paraguayan?
Well, it's a Paraguayan style harp. Right. And the only big difference is the strings are centered in the middle of the neck, whereas most harps have the strings on one side of the neck. And you say in a conventional harp, from the moment the harp is built, it's trying to tear itself apart. And in a Paraguayan-style harp, it's just the opposite. It brings itself closer together. An engineer calls it tensengicity. I think a guy told me that. Tensengicity or something like that.
That's a good word. We'll go with that. Well, tell me about the wood. It looks like a combination of solid wood and laminate?
Yes,
or am I being lame
plywood,
again?
You can say plywood. That's okay. Yes. The neck almost has to be plywood because of the extreme curve at the bottom. If it were solid wood, it would break in a heartbeat because there would be no strength there. So the necks are traditionally made out of plywood, and the rest of it actually is all local wood. The sides and the pillar is made out of paulownia. It's a local wood around here. Very, very lightweight. Paulownia, or some people call it the princess tree.
Princess tree.
Right. Has big, huge leaves and
the
big
beautiful
purple blossoms.
Flowers.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, yes. And it's very lightweight. And somebody told me next to balsa wood, it's the lightest wood there is and very highly prized by the Japanese and Chinese for making musical instruments, but very unknown in this
country.
Yes.
How did you discover it?
I met a guy at a show once and he had a paulownia farm and he grows and now he's selling the wood to Fender guitars, of all people, and he's selling tons of it. They make their solid body guitars out of it.
All right, we've got the princess tree. What do you call that part?
The post or the pillar.
The post or the pillar.
Yes.
Then we've got the sound box or
yes.
the soundboard.
Right. What's the soundboard or the resonator is literally a box, but the most important piece probably in terms of the tone is the piece that you see on the top of the box, and that's called the soundboard, and that is made out of Sitka. S-I-T-K-A, Sitka spruce, which is used in violin tops and guitar tops, typically. Very strong.
Where do you get your wood?
I get it, of all places, from a place that supplies aircraft, wood for aircraft, experimental aircraft. Remember Howard Spruce, the spruce goose?
Yeah.
That was made out of Sitka spruce. It's very, very strong and reasonably lightweight.
Can we move on to the other harp?
Sure.
The other harp may not sound quite as melodious, but it makes up for this by being, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Preposterous? Fanciful? Stunning?
I can start by telling you it's made out of PVC pipe. It's all made out of, you might say it came to me in a pipe dream, the whole idea for this. And it's very, very lightweight. I would say, what'd you say, Martha? It weighs about 3 pounds, 3 or 4 pounds, right? And the whole thing is made out of PVC, what you typically see in sewer pipe. The resonator is 4 inches in diameter, and the rest of it is either 2 inches or 1.5 inch pipe. And again, the tension holds it together. As you tighten up the strings, it works.
Okay. What on earth? Did you make this up?
Yes, it's totally my idea. Yes, I said it was sort of like a pipe dream. You know, it just came to me in a vision once. I said, gosh, why?
Why?
I don't know. I can't tell you why. I'm always trying to experiment, you know. And the other thing is usually when you do things, it never works out the first time. But this, I mean, it was almost amazed me. The first one I made, I put it together, I tuned it up, and it worked. And I almost couldn't believe it. There was no fiddling, you know, it just worked.
One?
No, that's about the third generation.
Is it significantly different than the first one?
No, that would just improve the aesthetics a little bit. No.
You have written several books, and one of them is PVC Musical Instruments and How to Make Them.
That's true.
And on the back, you have a picture. I love this. The band in a bucket.
Yes.
Now, first of all, what instruments are we talking about?
Well, in the book, there are we actually have a little orchestra we play with. We call it the East Coast PVC Orchestra. And we have in it a violin, sometimes a cello. My wife plays bass, gut bucket bass, real gut bucket. It's one of these buckets you see in for holding 5 gallons of paint with a sort of like the old-time gut bucket you see in the orchestras. Oh, we have some percussion instruments. Of course, I have the harp, even a guitar at times, a slide guitar. And there are a whole bunch of other things in there, a didgeridoo and a kazoo and, well, I forget all of them.
Let's see. Friction drum.
Yes.
Slide whistle.
Yes.
Panpipes. What would an orchestra be without panpipes?
There you go, right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. When did you have your vision of making the harp out of the PVC pipe? How long ago?
I'm trying to remember. About 10 years ago or so.
And then... It's like a vision gone crazy.
Yes,
it's sure. Like the blob.
It's alive. You know, it's alive.
Just takes over. So tell me the story behind the book and the orchestra.
Well, the Shameless Commerce Division comes into play here.
Good.
And a couple years before writing this book and the other book, I spoke to an old high school friend, and he told me that a former boss of his who was a jeweler said to him he had to get into a business where he made money while he was sleeping. And at that point, I was making these harps, you know, one at a time. And boom, I said, boy, that sounds like a really good idea. So we now sell the books, and people want to buy the strings and the tuning devices from us. They do so. So that's, I hate to say it, but it really came down to economics. Yeah?
But saying I want to make money while I'm sleeping, it may be shameless, but it's
right.
Not shameful. Where'd the concept for this book come from?
Well, again, the harp was the first instrument I made.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of after that, I don't know, I guess the other light bulbs went off. But the harp truly was just out of the blue. You know, I just wanted to playing the harp and just said, gee, I suppose I could make this out of PVC pipe. And the rest was just, just one thing led to another.
Now, how about harp making made simple, which is looks like a much more conventionally serious book?
Well, the Harp Making Made Simple book did arrive within about 3 months after speaking to my old high school friend about the make money while you sleep. And up to that point, I had made probably about 150 harps. And although I love doing it, you know, it takes a lot of time from playing the music. So I just said, well, gee, why not just give people the plans and tell them how to do it? And then rather than me making the whole harp, they can order the strings and tuners if they choose and make it themselves. And since then, over 1,000 people have made harps from the book. I know because they typically buy the stuff from us and they're done. It's really amazing to me. And there's no greater joy than making a musical instrument and playing it. I mean, it's really very special, very special. Every time I do it, I'm still amazed that you can just take wood and make this instrument.
the first time you made an instrument?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. And it was a harp. And I'll tell you, I was in the Peace Corps back in the late 70s. They gave us $300 to buy pots and pans and all this stuff after our 3 months of language training. And we all celebrated. We went to a Hilton Hotel, all us volunteers, 20 of us. And there at the Hilton Hotel in Bogota, Colombia, was a fellow from Paraguay playing the harp. And I instantly, I mean, it was one of these life-changing experiences. Mm-hmm. I stood in front of this guy for the whole 2 hours just in awe. And I used to play guitar, so I was a musician. And the next day, with this $300, I traveled, about 6 hours on a bus to where there was only one region in the country where they made harps. And I foolishly bought a harp with the $300 rather than pots and pans. And that's where it all started. And when you ask why I got started with the harps, building them. When I was in this guy's harp shop, a very, very small, little, humble little shop, and he literally had chickens running around his shop. And I just said to myself, I know I can do this. I wasn't really a woodworker. I had built a little shed or something like that before. But I just said, I know I can do this. And I had to wait almost 10 years to get a house with a little shop and some tools. But always in the back of my mind was to build a harp. And that's, yes, about the first harp, yes.
What did you think you were going to do at that age?
Well, I did practice law up until January 1 of 91. I practiced with legal services, and I was building harps on the side. And January 1, 1991, I gave up the practice of law for the practice of music. And I never practiced law since, and I've been playing music ever since. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Life story. Let's back up and have life story, because you did get a law degree in here somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're born and you were raised where? Life story.
Sure. Don't tell us anybody. I grew up in New Jersey. And
Is the part you grew up in underwater at the moment?
I don't think so. No, Hillside, New Jersey. Hillside, there you go. Hillside is probably way above water. Cute little suburb of Newark. And you're bringing up some memories here. My mom said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a musician. And she kind of like, get real, you know, you got to go to college, you know. And the only reason I did what I did when I was a senior in college, I was not a very good student. And my guidance counselor brought me in, you know, when they do, I guess, the end of your senior year. What are you going to do with yourself? His name was Mr. Gottlieb, bless his heart. I said, I don't know. I think I want to be an engineer. And he took my grades and he said, how can you be an engineer? You failed algebra. What did I know what an engineer was? I said, well, what should I do? He looked up some test grades and he says, I'll tell you what you do. You go to college, you get an accounting degree, and then you go to law school and you get a law degree and you combine them together and you'll make a lot of money. Well, he was right in a small sense, but I went to legal services within a couple of years.
So making money is not for you.
Well, you have to live.
You have to live. You have to pay the rent, but not as a goal.
No, I wouldn't say
that. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the decision to abandon the legal profession for music? Because you weren't close to retirement age.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, you never make too much money in legal services. It's probably less than a school teacher. And I think what happened was, at one point, after I built about 5 harps, a woman called me up once, and somehow she knew that I was making harps, and she said, would you like to come? We have this craft show. If you come here, we'll give you a free spot, and you can sell your harps. I didn't know. I said, what is a craft show? I had no idea what she was talking about. She said, oh, a craft show is people come, and they pay money, and they look at all these crafts, and I said, okay, you know. And it must have been divine intervention. I sold 3 harps in that day. Of course, they're very low price. I think they were like $300 at the time. That might have but that's... And I did craft shows for almost 20 years. I never sold 3. The first time I was at it, I sold 3 harps in one day. And I said to myself, I guess I could really make a living at this. And that was the spark. That was the spark. And that was about, and then 2 years later, I gave up the legal profession.
And why did you want to build a harp? What's wrong with just playing the harp?
I can't explain it except that I get kind of compulsive about certain things.
You have to explain it because this is radio.
Okay. Again, it goes back to that incident in the harp builder's place in Colombia. I just said to myself, I know I can do this. I wasn't a very skilled woodworker at all, but it's a very, very simple instrument. It's probably the simplest instrument you could build. If you think about it, when you build a guitar or a violin, you have to be very, very close tolerances. With the harp, it really doesn't make any difference because just picture a triangle, and as long as the strings are reasonably parallel to one another, you can't really do anything wrong. It's nothing that can go wrong with a harp, except maybe it could blow up because of the tension. And I learned I must have destroyed about, I'd say about 10 harps here and there. Just because imagine there's 800 pounds of tension on this instrument that weighs like 12 pounds. If something's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong.
Now, this is all very self-deprecating, but you build harps that people buy.
Yes.
Which to me means you're very good at it. So where does this skill come in?
Well, I guess I just have a love for it. I don't know how to explain it. I would play in my house maybe, hours a day. You know, I don't know how many hours a day I'll play, but typically 3 hours is not unusual. And I just love music. I heard an interview, I think, on your station the other day with somebody saying that he's the guy with, my memory's gone, Jerry Garcia. I don't know if you heard that the other day, saying that he would do anything. I mean, he would play music above everything. And I really feel the same way.
Till the morning comes, it'll be you by. Till the morning comes.
You'll find a link to John Kovacs' music-laden website on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Back after a break to talk with North Garden's Beth Neville Evans, who spent the last 12 years heavily involved with San Mateo Ixtatan.